This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Industry is against Bitcoin exchange Bittrex, which just 2 weeks ago announced that they were going to be calling it quits on the U.S. market. This is after, apparently, Bittrex was targeted by FinCEN and the Office of Foreign Assets Control for allegedly violating sanctions rules, which is, like, normally a pretty serious crime, but they got to walk away from it by paying $29 million. And not facing any criminal charges. Of course, in the Crypto 6 case, they want to put us in, you know, behind bars.
Wasn't there a guy who, like, went to North Korea and he just spoke at a seminar about cryptocurrency technology and he got charged for violating sanctions?
They did that. Yeah, I don't know what happened to that guy.
Yeah, I don't remember now.
That'd be an interesting to get a follow-up on that particular case. But, yeah, they charged him criminally.
That's what I thought,
in that particular case.
Because that's a big deal, right?
It's supposed to be a big deal, and that guy, I'm sure, didn't have $29 million that he could just pay to make that go away, like Bittrex did in this case. So Bittrex, I guess, getting tired of being targeted by the U.S. federal government, decided they were going to exit the United States market, but they also got hit with an SEC lawsuit this week, and that's what we've been talking about here, which isn't a surprise. They've been going after other cryptocurrency exchanges. Bittrex knew this was coming, and, you know, they thought they were going to get out before it happened, maybe, but nope, they got caught up in that.
Cryptocurrency dying in the United States would be absolutely destructive of the rights of Americans
sure.
to secure their liberty and their financial security going into the future, pending the collapse of the USD.
It would harm...
Right. If it's like the Americans have to ask themselves, if there's a possibility, and there does exist a possibility, that the U.S. dollar collapses and Bitcoin or some of the cryptocurrency takes its place, do they want an intrusive government throwing every, you know, young, bright individual who's interested in cryptocurrency behind bars in order to protect their freedom?
That's sort of the way I see all of this going. Exactly, Mark. I don't know if I believe that Bitcoin is going to become the world's reserve currency, whatever that would mean, but I think it is a reserve currency, and whether or not the world ever has just one again, I think it is a reserve currency, and I think it would be smart.
It's certainly legal tender in El Salvador right
yes.
now.
Yes, and I think it would be smart for Americans to diversify their interests instead of keeping everything in USD, and you don't want it all in gold and silver either, because those are very easy to steal. Instead, invest in some cryptocurrency.
I saw recently that there was some, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the country. I think it was like an Asian country of some sort. It's one of the smaller ones that was secretly, their treasury had secretly been buying Bitcoin. Like, I don't know, billions of dollars worth of it or something like that. So it was never like a public program or a legal tender or anything like that. It was just some small...
It would have driven up the price. Why would they want that? You
sure.
don't want the price driven up, so they wouldn't say that. But
you do after you buy it.
It makes you wonder, though, how many other countries are quietly buying Bitcoin as an asset behind the scenes.
And I would also remind everybody that it wasn't very many months ago that the possibility was out there that the Russian ruble would collapse, that Russians wouldn't be able to do any business on a global scale, and that Bitcoin would become the de facto de jure currency for Russia. And that drove up the price immeasurably. It was really high at that point. What if something like that happened? I mean, like, that kind of thing happened in an instant, and it could happen again. Do you want to be stopped by your government, by a bunch of old men that are protecting banks? And that's transparently what's happening.
That's what's going
here. This is simply the government doing what it does, which is protecting its banker overlords. These are simply attack dogs at the end of the banker's leash. That's it.
Bankers in Wall Street, stocks, those guys too. They're in on it.
Repeat well. Yourself.
Yeah, let's talk to David. He's on the line. Hold that thought, Mark. David's on the line in Georgia. Go ahead.
So this SEC thing versus Bittrex. First of all, why don't these companies just tell the SEC and all the rest of these government organizations to go take a long hike off a short pier?
Well, if they're based in the United States, as Bittrex was, then they probably have bank accounts, they probably have assets, they probably have things that can be seized, that can be frozen, and I suspect that is why.
Well, plus right. Someone brought up Julian Assange earlier, and I think that's a really... alarming example, because Julian Assange, of course, was not an American citizen.
He had never been to the United States.
Yeah, has never been here, and yet they still arrested him. They invaded an embassy to arrest him, and they're holding him in jail, and they're going to extradite him to the United States. So, like, where, even if you're not subject to U.S. jurisdiction, does it matter?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know, like you mentioned Telegram, and them not having any kind of presence in the U.S. servers or anything else. It seems like they would be the perfect company to go tell the U.S. to take a long hike off the short pier.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Until they black bagged the owner.
Mm. Well, yeah, and that's a question that I would love to hear the answer to. I really would like to know why Telegram decided not to do that. But, I mean, he's already being hunted by the Russian government. Does he really want to be hunted by, say, all three major powers on the planet?
And why don't all these companies file, I don't know, some sort of class action? I don't know if companies can do that. But like a class action lawsuit against the SEC and these these government organizations like Coinbase and Kraken and Bittrex and whatever versus SEC, CFTC, blah, 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 and take all these people to court.
My guess is that the reason why that wouldn't work is because it would be dismissed for lack of standing. Most cases that get filed get dismissed. They never make it to court. They, the other party would say, well, you don't have any standing because blah, blah, blah. And then the court would agree, and then that would be the end of that. But, maybe it's worth a try. I don't know. You would think they would have come up with that one by now, though.
Yeah, as we learned when we sued the state of New Hampshire, or Governor Sununu, rather, that if you haven't actually been specifically targeted and wronged, then you don't have standing to sit in line. We sued over the mask mandates and the lockdowns, but because we weren't directly harmed or penalized or fined as a result of these laws, we had no standing to sue them. It doesn't matter how unconstitutional they are.
Well, I guess David would be saying here that they have been targeted. They have been sued.
They would have been targeted, so they would have standing in that case.
I don't know. Standing seems to be a fairly difficult thing to garner in civil courts, and that would be a good question for an attorney, which we don't have any of those on the show here tonight. Anything else, David, you want to share?
Yeah, a couple quick things. Coinbase, I just read an article on CoinDesk actually today that says Coinbase is very seriously considering leaving the United States, and I can't blame them.
Nope, absolutely not. I've heard they're having meetings with the UK government over possible relocation to the United Kingdom.
I can't blame them at all. And then last night, I was listening to the podcast from last night, and you guys were talking about credit cards. And normally with credit cards, the minimum payment is 2% of your entire balance. So it's an interest plus some of the principal. And you will actually, if you don't continue using the credit card, you will actually pay it off in about 50 months. Because 2% times 50 months would be 100% of your balance. If you did not continue using said card, so it will go down.
Yeah, but these people do continue using the card. And is it 2% of the original balance each month, or is it 2% of the current balance each month? In which case, you would never pay it off. 2% of the current balance, you would probably never pay that off in a lifetime, because 2% would keep getting smaller month after month.
Like it's 2% of the whole balance, and yeah, you could.
There's a minimum payment though, isn't there? Isn't there like a minimum $20 payment, regardless of what the
2%
would be?
Yeah, there's like a minimum like 30.
Yeah, so you're right. It would probably go down eventually if you made the minimum payment. By that time, you're probably paying four or five times what the original balance was.
You're right. This is not a good idea.
It would go down, but it's not a good idea. Absolutely not.
Hey, David, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The number, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the attack against the cryptocurrency exchange Bittrex, which I think is telegraphing another attack that's coming. In the midst of this document, I don't even know how many pages it is. I'm only looking at some excerpts from it. But somebody found details about why the SEC believes that the cryptocurrency, the longtime crypto known as Dash, a.k.a. digital cash, is considered by the SEC to be a so-called security.
And they suddenly the SEC is willing to point at these particular cryptocurrencies and say, well, this is the thing that you were selling this as security. But
yes.
5 years ago, when Bittrex asked them,
they were
not willing to do that.
Right.
And recently, when Congress asked the SEC, is it Ether a security, they were unwilling to answer.
Exactly. They're like, well, you'll know when we sue you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's very helpful.
Well, it's an old-time tactic, Aria, is never answer a question in one of these sorts of forums. So this, what was his name, the guy, the head of the SEC there?
Gary Gensler,
right. So Gensler wouldn't ask a question that was asked by a representative of the United States citizenry, wouldn't answer a senator, right?
I don't know if they're representatives or senators. I have no idea.
One of these Congress critters was asking a question. He wouldn't answer it. But he wasn't going to answer any questions because he knows what comes next, that this guy's prepared if he answers yes or prepared if he answers no to go after him. He wasn't going to answer that. He's going to do what he wants to do when he's not under the eye and, you know, screw him. And that's ultimately a pretty good tactic.
So... And he knows he's going to land with a golden parachute when all is said and done. Even if the worst case happens to Gary Gensler and he gets fired ultimately, because there is a bill apparently that's being introduced that would do that, if that actually were to be passed, and if for whatever reason Biden were to sign it, which is like near 0% chance of happening, but even if it did happen, you know Gensler, he's going to parachute right on down into the cryptocurrency industry and he'll get hired by Coinbase or you know somebody like that to be an advisor. So anyway, what's going on with Dash? Let's get into just a brief explanation here of why Dash, the cryptocurrency, is considered a so-called security by the SEC. They get into kind of the details of how Dash works as a decentralized autonomous organization, as the first decentralized autonomous organization. There have been many since, but Dash was the first one to do it, and they're still operating. And so it's 10% of the block rewards goes to the masternodes, basically, as a treasury fund. And then the masternodes can make proposals and vote. Actually, I think anyone can make a proposal. And then the masternodes vote on those proposals. You have to pay, I think it's one dash now. It used to be five. But you pay a dash, you make the proposal, and then the masternodes say yay or nay. They vote on it over a period of like a month or longer, I think, if you want it to be. And then if enough of the masternodes say yes, then the thing passes and it gets funded. And then that thing supposedly will move forward, whether that be, you know, an advertising budget or whether it be paying this Dash core group, which is a group of people who supposedly are like programming Dash and, you know, promoting Dash and doing various different things to try to get the word out, right, and get the product improved.
Yeah.
And so they say here that the masternodes are voting to fund the Dash core group. This is, again, an excerpt from the lawsuit by the SEC. Since the Dash core group submits the majority of the proposals that get approved and funded from the Dash treasury, the masternodes also indirectly control DCG through their voting control over the trust, which is the sole shareholder of DCG. Their improvements to the Dash platform and the Dash token increase the Dash token's value, thereby benefiting all token holders. Accordingly, the fortunes of the investors, i.e. the non-masternode token holders, that is to say, anyone that has Dash, are tied to the fortunes of the masternodes and the Dash control or Dash core group.
Yes, that's the way cryptocurrency works.
Specifically cryptocurrency with a funding mechanism backed behind it. Bitcoin doesn't have that same mechanism.
Well, it kind of does with the the Bitcoin, what are they called? The group that does all of the Blockstream.
Blockstream?
Yeah. It sort of does.
The CIA controlled front?
Yeah, that's a little different. And that is actually the answer to the question that you asked earlier. Well, why did they exempt Bitcoin from being a security? Why did the SEC's chairman specifically say Bitcoin is not a security, that it's a commodity? And the theory there is that they control Bitcoin, that the banking system has its tendrils into Bitcoin through funding Blockstream, which funds the programmers of Bitcoin. But that's money.
Well, that's not even a theory. That may or may not be why the SEC said it's not a cryptocurrency.
But that's
an incontrovertible fact that the banking system has its claws in Bitcoin.
Yes, that's why they're not going to touch Bitcoin, I think. But also, that money's coming from the outside of Bitcoin into Bitcoin, whereas the Dash funding is coming from within Dash. It is Dash's mechanism for funding itself. 10% of the mining rewards go to this treasury that gets voted on. So they're basically arguing here that any decentralized autonomous organization is going to be considered a security. Any cryptocurrency, because most of them are very similar to Dash.
That's
right?
Completely crazy. Like when Bitcoin.com, and I don't want to give these people ideas, but when Bitcoin.com sponsored us and paid us, Bitcoin Cash every month or whatever, we had a vested interest in promoting Bitcoin Cash and making it succeed. That didn't make us a security or promoting a security.
Don't give them any ideas.
I know. But that's not the way this works. Having an asset or a currency or a security or anything and wanting that thing to increase in value is not enough to make it a security. I want my guitar to increase in value.
They are arguing that that is enough.
Well, but that's
what
crazy.
They're saying is that this operates like preferred shares are, making decisions for the rest of the shareholders and, these sorts of arguments. And I wouldn't call it crazy. I would just say that this is another way that the SEC steps in and makes it so that the average American can't get involved in any investment that it hasn't given its little stamp and approval to. I mean, have the people who've had Dash and people who have had Masternodes, have they been screwed? Are they alleging that? Because this looks like a police action without a complaint.
No, they're not alleging that. They're simply making the argument that Dash is a security so they can go after Bittrex and claim you were selling securities without registering with us first, therefore you got to pay, we have to destroy your business, we have to take all the disgorgement, which is a huge amount of money essentially to destroy them. That's what they're trying to do here. But the writing is on the wall,
yeah, you're
in my
absolutely
opinion.
Right.
Also, I do want to clarify something you said there, Arya. We were promoting Bitcoin.com, which is not the same thing as promoting Bitcoin Cash.
Right.
Bitcoin.com, we were promoting where you can go to learn about crypto, specifically Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, the technology behind it. It wasn't, they would sell you just this one coin or whatever. That's not the same thing.
True.
But anyway, the point here they're getting across is that if there's a decentralized autonomous organization that is self-funded, which they all are, because every decentralized autonomous organization I've ever seen has its own token. And so in the case
they're not going to get you to hand them dollars.
Well, and so what happens, though, normally is in order to be a voting member of a decentralized autonomous organization, you have to acquire their token. And then you have votes. And the more tokens you have, the more votes that you have. This is the way everyone I've ever seen works.
Right.
And so if they're saying Dash, the first decentralized autonomous organization, is a security, then that can be extrapolated to mean they believe that every decentralized autonomous organization is also a security. That's what's coming. They may come after Dash next. They may sue the Dash core group and anybody they can identify that's ever, had any kind of operations within Dash, anybody that's currently working with them that's known, like somebody that's not an anonymous
individual. As far as I can tell, their Telegram, they're saying it outright.
Yeah.
Dash is our next target.
I think that's coming. I think also, and I think that's terrible, but that's...
People didn't think it was going to stop with Library, did they?
No.
It bears repeating that Binance and Bittrex asked the SEC to identify 5 years ago the coins that were securities, and they did not do that.
And 5 years ago, they could have said Dash.
They could have.
Yeah,
Dash was
easily around. Said that. But they could have said the Dows. They could have said a variety of things. But they now they want to go back in time, and say, you should have known. Well, you know, and really it's a very, very important point that you should have told us.
They also point out here that they're claiming that, quote, finally, the value of Dash is further enhanced by the fact that the token has a limited supply and is deflationary in nature. For example, the Dash website explains that the block reward is reduced by approximately 7% every 210,000 blocks, roughly every 380 days. So they're saying here that any coins that reduce their supply over time, which Bitcoin does, by the way, may also be considered a security. So it's not just decentralized autonomous organizations that need to look out. It's any cryptocurrency besides Bitcoin, which is what they've said before. Gensler has said he believes every other crypto besides Bitcoin is a security. Now they're just coming after them. Now they're making it known.
I mean, that makes it pretty clear that the banking system, the U.S. government, is firmly in control of Bitcoin. If they're exempting this one cryptocurrency.
Right. The one approved crypto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One crypto to rule them all. Right.
So I think that's where you're going to see this going next. Don't forget
central bank digital currency.
Well, yes, they're going to roll that out at some point.
They don't need that if they control Bitcoin.
Well, no, they do need that because Bitcoin isn't totally controlled by them. It's just their programmers are paid by them, but the miners aren't being run by the feds or whatever. So they don't have total control. They just have influence, I think, is the way to put that. But so we know they're going to go after DAOs at this point. It seems like the writing's clearly on the wall for that. Also, don't forget that within the last few weeks, the Treasury Department came out with a report. Totally different department now, right? The Treasury Department said decentralized finance, of which DAOs are a major portion, decentralized finance is a threat to national security.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that is what they actually said. Not just, oh, my God, our bank buddies don't like it, but this is a threat to national security, a.k.a. terrorism. They are literally going to call decentralized finance terrorist acts against the United States and its banking system. And they're going to come after people with terrorist-related charges. They already went after Bittrex.
When they redefined a POW as an enemy combatant, because they weren't at war, they couldn't call somebody a POW. So they just came up with another term and made it work.
Well, that was way more evil than that, too, because the term enemy combatant could be applied to everyone, whereas a prisoner of war was someone who had joined the military of the opposing army.
That's a good point.
Whereas an enemy combatant is just a random person you happen to see.
Yeah, somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
So that's the news here, and it's not good news. Like you were saying before, Mark, if you're a cryptocurrency developer and you're still in the United States, well, you probably, if you're an intelligent person, you're planning to leave. It's not worth spending the money to stay here, right? Like they can sue the federal government and drop even more millions of dollars into attorneys and trying to somehow get them to clarify, quote unquote, the regulations. Or you can just say, like, you know what? I was going to start a new crypto here. Like, if you haven't started your thing yet, that's the best time to get out, right? Because if you've already had a decentralized autonomous organization or a crypto or an exchange based in the United States, man, you're probably on their list, and they're probably building a case against you right now. But if you haven't started the thing that you were going to create, like if you're an entrepreneur and you're about ready to get something rolling, just go ahead and sell your house, find some friendly jurisdiction. I don't know what they are. I don't know if it's St. Kitts or Nevis or Honduras or wherever, but figure that out, because it sure as hell isn't the United States. There's more coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamGaday.com. TeamGaday.com.
USA News Update. A last-minute settlement between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News happened today just before their defamation trial was to begin.
Today's settlement of $787,500,000 represents vindication and accountability.
Dominion attorney Justin Nelson, Fox News in a statement, said it acknowledged the court's rulings, finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. One person is dead, five others injured after a parking garage collapsed in Lower Manhattan. The five-story building is structurally unsound. New York's fire department is using drones to assess the damage. A huge backlog of paper tax returns has been cleared by the IRS. The agency says new scanning technology they have that allows paper returns to be digitized enables them to be processed more quickly. They remind you you have until midnight to file your returns. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I said I had one more video of this Gary Gensler guy, the slimy chairman of the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the federal agency that's doing probably the most damage at the moment against the cryptocurrency industry by bringing apparently more than 50 enforcement actions. That means lawsuits designed to destroy and defund entities in the cryptocurrency industry, such as cryptocurrency exchanges like Bittrex, which they just sued this week. They're going to bring a lawsuit against Coinbase. We learned that within the last couple of weeks. They've issued what they call a Wells notice to Coinbase, which comes before the enforcement action, before the suit gets filed. So we know that one is in the pipeline. And many others, including our friends over at Library, LBRY.com, that were the first to go down. They were the first sort of noteworthy case. The Ripple case is still in play. We're waiting on a judge to make a decision in that case. Apparently, all the arguments have been made. So obviously, there's a lot of people hoping that a different judge will make a different decision. But you know, there's just no reason to get your hopes up on that.
The Library case is what really seemed to embolden the SEC, mm-hmm. because this was an obvious circumstance of a utility coin as opposed to a security.
Yeah.
And that's the distinction, right? Like a utility coin can be used for some utility, and that's clearly what was happening with the library coin. But the judge went ahead and said, sure, this sounds like a security, and they lost their case. And wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, they turned it up to 11,
yep.
And they're ready to go after everybody.
That's what's happening. By the way, if you are going to be sticking it out here in the United States, there's a great destination. We love New Hampshire, and so do a lot of liberty activists that are coalescing here in New Hampshire. But you got to have a place to live. And the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate can help you make that happen. It's kind of an interesting market up here, very high demand market at this moment. So you may have some questions. You may want to get some of those questions answered. Well, obviously you can get in touch with them at Porcupine Real Estate, but they also have some upcoming webinars that are going to be covering various different things going on here in New Hampshire. Topics like gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom, victories that we've had here in New Hampshire. They're going to be covering those things in separate webinars. Also, they'll be covering best practices for moving to the free state and, of course, finding housing. So you can go and sign up for these. They are free. All you have to do is register over at move.freetalklive.com. That's not actually our site. It's a forwarding URL that'll take you right to the page where you need to be at the Porcupine Real Estate website where you can get signed up for free and tell them which one you want to attend, maybe more than one. move.freetalklive.com. You can also visit the Porcupine Real Estate channel on YouTube for videos of previous webinars. So if you've already missed some, you can go and see what they were like. Once again, that's Porcupine Real Estate on YouTube, and go get signed up for the upcoming webinars at move.freetalklive.com.
That's a really cool service. I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, they know their stuff over there for sure. Mark Warden's been here for, I think, over a decade now.
Yeah, and just as a little bit of endorsement, I was trying to put together a Mark Warden ad today, and I'm going to give him my endorsement because
sure.
I worked with Mark Warden to purchase a house, and he did a really, really great job for me. And I think this is the number one thing that you want a real estate agent to do, is not only to save you money or make you money, because it's the same thing, but to do it in a way that you never even knew was going to happen. So he caught something that I didn't catch. And this isn't my first rodeo by any stretch. I was just kind of trying to throw a bone to a friend. And, man, am I grateful I did.
Yep, great guy, and he's got a great staff as well, because the business has become so large, he can't do it all by himself at this point. So that's a great sign.
Yep.
Anyway, we got more coming up here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. I want to play this other video of a different bureaucrat, different politician, cornering this slime bag, Gary Gensler, the SEC chairman. I believe this guy's name is Tom Emmer. He's apparently the House Majority Whip. And he gives it good, pretty good to him here in this five-minute clip.
Thank you. Chair Gensler, I have a lot of questions and a limited amount of time, so if you could keep your answers to either a yes or a no, that will allow us to get through as many as possible.
Wouldn't that be fun?
From your perspective, is it more difficult now for the digital asset industry to access financial products and services in the United States than it was, say, 2 years ago?
Wow.
Sir, I'm not running one of those businesses. If they came into compliance, I think
I'm reclaiming my time. The answer, sir, is yes.
Wrong.
That was good.
Wow, he's just so slimy. I'm not running one of those businesses, dude. You probably never run a business in your life.
He put those people out of business.
Most of these politicians, most of these government bureaucrats, these are career bureaucrats. This guy probably worked as a lower-level bureaucrat with the SEC before he became the chairman. Probably, and I don't know what his history is, but it wouldn't surprise me if he had some state-level job in state financial regulation before that. He's probably never run a business. He probably doesn't know anything about what being an entrepreneur is.
He's not just putting individuals out of business either. He's putting America out of business. America is not going to be able to compete on a world stage after this Gensler joker is out of office. That's just the end of it.
He's like, running away entrepreneurs. He's running away.
I don't know if there's anything the American people can do at this moment in time. I believe the damage has been done. The crypto industry in the United States, the place where it started, the place that we have the opportunity to rule the world through cryptocurrency, has been destroyed by its bureaucrats.
Well, I don't know if you can say it started here. We don't know where Satoshi Nakamoto was from. But
I think it's fair to say that crypto started here.
Certainly there was a lot of strength for a long time in the United States. I mean, many cryptos had a lot more validators and miners based in the United States. We had some really innovative people start some innovative cryptocurrencies, and this is scaring them away. This is running them off, and that is what it's intended to do. But let's continue with the questioning.
Thank you. And the SEC have had a role to play in that.
I think we have a role to protect the American investor and the capital markets. And the
reclaiming my time, sir. You have played an obvious role in that. During your tenure at the SEC, how many rules has the SEC finalized that actually accommodate the existing regulatory framework and are specifically to the digital asset industry so the crypto market can come into compliance?
What do you think the answer is?
Zero.
Well, it's either supposed to be either yes or no, according to this guy.
Well, this is a numeric answer, and in this case, the answer would be zero. They've never made a rule specifically to cryptocurrency, but let's see what Gensler has to say.
It's our rule books that are on the books for years, so we have not finalized any new rule specifically with regard to...
By years, you mean since 1930-something, when the SEC... When the Securities Exchange Act or whatever was put into place?
Crypto, we've proposed some things in best execution. We've also...
Sir, reclaiming my time, the answer is zero. And how many enforcement actions has the SEC levied against digital asset companies during your tenure, sir?
I think it's probably 40 or 50.
The answer, sir, is about 55. My understanding is that the biggest crypto failure in history is...
That's the closest he comes to actually answering a question, by the way, is that one answer there. Going on.
Probably that he doesn't even know the answer to that. No, he's just guessing.
Sure. Well, he's just the boss man, you know. He's got underlings that handle that department.
Five. My understanding is that the biggest crypto failure in history is probably FTX at $9 billion. Were you the chairman of the SEC when FTX collapsed?
Yes.
And how many times did you meet with FTX prior to their collapse?
I think my public record shows two.
You met it with FTX.
That's a strange way to answer that.
That is a. What is the real answer then? I'm seeing on video meeting him twice.
Don't you remember when the FTX thing was like going down? That news came out that Gensler was buddies. Like they used to work together with the FTX guy's dad's, or no, his girlfriend's dad. Like they were close. This guy and the girlfriend, Caroline, I think was her name, her dad and Gensler were old buddies, old partners in something. I forget what it was. But so that's why I was like, yeah, why'd he answer it that way? That's a real strange way to answer that question.
At least twice. And arguably, the second biggest crypto failure in history was Terra Luna. Who was the chairman of the SEC when Terra Luna collapsed, sir?
We had brought...
You were, sir, reclaiming my time. You were. There are five members on the commission. Do you believe your speeches and interviews are to serve as the official position of the SEC?
I can only speak for myself when I'm speaking.
Again, sir, in a statement on the SEC website, you are quoted saying, the Kraken staking as a service enforcement action should make clear to the marketplace that staking as a service providers must register. But again, you haven't provided any rules for how that can be done. I must remind you, your public statements are not regulations. It's not responsible to expect the American people to assume your statements are a substitute for rules.
That's an interesting point there. Again, he admitted that there had been no specific rules created regarding cryptocurrency.
Right. He doesn't want to provide any pathways to bring these cryptocurrency exchanges into compliance.
Right. So there's no rules that they've created, but yet his public statement is, now everybody knows you have to register. Even though Kraken and these others all tried, and there's no way to register. So it's all a very, very confusing mess, and I think that's the intention. They want people to be confused. They want people to be frustrated. They want people to give up.
Well, if they had any interest in, you know, bringing these companies into regulation or into compliance, the first thing they would do is create some sort of regulation that would allow them to come into compliance. I think the fact that such a thing doesn't exist serves as proof that they don't want compliance. They want to crush the cryptocurrency industry. I don't know how else to interpret this.
Well, remember what happened with when the Coinbase news came out that Coinbase received the Wells notice from the SEC. Coinbase told their side of the story. And Coinbase said, we went in, we tried to talk to them, we spent millions of dollars trying to develop the regulations for them. Because the SEC said to Coinbase, Coinbase said to the SEC, what do we got to do to register? And the SEC, just according to Coinbase, said back to them, well, what do you think you should have to do to register? Because
that's the way this works.
Because there were no regulations.
It sounds like filing your taxes.
Right?
Happy tax day, by the way, everybody.
In this case,
how much do I owe, government? Well, you figure it out, and if you get it wrong, we'll just imprison you.
Right, so they tell Coinbase, why don't you tell us what you think you should have to do? And Coinbase saw this as, oh, good. We get to be the ones to write the regulations.
Well, this is what Coinbase wanted all along.
Right, right. So they hired a bunch of attorneys. They spent millions of dollars hiring these attorneys to write the regulations for the SEC.
So that they could keep other companies from being able to compete with
them. That was their intention.
Absolutely.
We don't have any proof of it, but yes.
That's the way it always works on regulations, right? So then they sent these regulations, these proposed conditions, to the SEC. And they tried to follow up. They said, all right, well, what do y'all think? What do you think? How'd we do? And the SEC said, well, we have a meeting scheduled with you, but we're going to cancel that meeting and instead proceed with an enforcement action against you. So
happy with that response.
Yeah, even Coinbase.
It's hard to feel bad for Coinbase.
I know, but they're still not as bad as the SEC. Even Coinbase, the most compliant, the most, you know, willing to do what they're told company in the crypto space, even
the one with the most reasonable position that they were the ones to gain, right? Like they had the position, they had written the rules.
Right. Even they couldn't get an audience with the SEC, and there's a an enforcement against them. So we go on with the questioning here by the Tom Emmer.
As a general rule, I don't like politicians, right? But watching them grill one another, it's almost entertaining.
It can be entertaining. But let's go on.
Do you agree with this statement regarding the digital asset industry? The SEC needs additional congressional authorities to prevent transactions, products, and platforms from falling between the regulatory cracks.
I think that it's a largely non-compliant field.
Sir, again, I asked you to comply with my questions, and I'm asking you if you agree with that quote. And I'm going to tell you, I'm quoting you from an August 3rd, 2021 article where you, and I believe you told Congressman Hill earlier, that you need congressional authority to regulate stablecoins, and stablecoins happen to be a significant percentage of the crypto market. So the question is, when were you telling the truth? To Mr. Hill or to me? You've got to start answering these questions in a more transparent manner, sir. Does it concern you, by the way, that your approach to the digital asset industry is actually driving this industry out of the United States?
We're trying to drive it to compliance, and if they're not complying with the laws, then they shouldn't be offering their products.
Reclaiming my time. Madam Chair, I would like to enter into the record this Wall Street Journal article from April 4th.
We're trying to drive them into compliance with
a total lack of explanation on how to become compliant.
Right.
The law is if you lie to Congress, you've perjured yourself and you ought to go to prison. And this guy, it seems to me, ought to be taken away by the local Capitol Police.
Yeah.
Tossed in. See if a night in jail will get him to answer some questions with a yes or no in front of an elected individual of the people. No, it's not.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't arrest their
guys. We have gone so far from that. Maybe that would have happened at some point in the past, but it's certainly not going to happen now.
It seems to me that when you read someone a quote back of something they said, and it's like, hey, do you agree with this statement? And they can't say yes or no. Like, that's clearly perjury at that point.
It's a strong indication that that person doesn't have much of a relationship with the truth.
Yeah, for sure. Going on.
14th, 2023, detailing China's ploy to open its banking system to crypto firms in an effort to seize an opportunity created by our hostile regulatory environment, which,
here.
Mr. Chair, you're a big part of.
Without objection.
Chair Gensler, FTX was domiciled abroad and so is Binance, yet American consumers still had access to both. You can't really think that pushing this industry abroad is going to protect American consumers when it hasn't several times in the past on your watch. You say the crypto market is rife with non-compliance. However, existing SEC rules make no sense for blockchain-based companies, and following them would actually kill these businesses. Your regulatory style lacks flexibility and nuance, and as a result, you've been an incompetent cop on the beat, doing nothing to protect everyday Americans and pushing American firms into the hands of the CCP. Your intention to work against SEC mission and put American investors in harm's way has been made very apparent, sir. It's been a year and a half since you've appeared before this committee. You need to answer to Congress about the issues that you've had with the SEC staff union, the work environment you've cultivated at the SEC that's led to hemorrhaging of senior staff, the intellectual inconsistency of your regulatory treatment towards Bitcoin spot ETFs, and your politicization of capital formation opportunities
through
your treatment of certain SPACs. And that's just to name a few.
Wow.
That is scathing. I have never heard a government agent hold another government agent that accountable. And I've listened to a lot of Ron Paul.
I mean, on one hand, this guy, Emmer, is alleging that Gensler is running people out of the SEC. And it's like, okay, that actually sounds like a good thing. So it's so bad, he's saying, that people, longtime bureaucrats, are quitting their jobs. Well, maybe we should actually keep this guy there.
Alleging that he may not get a paycheck from the Chinese Communist Party, but he is working for them. He's working in their interest.
By running the crypto businesses out of the United States and allegedly into the arms of the Chinese, which I don't buy that for a moment, because we know that the Chinese have already banned crypto mining and crypto, various different crypto-related things there.
He quoted right there how they're looking into making it possible. That was true, Ian, and that was what I was trying to point out previously, is that both Russia and China had kind of turned their backs on crypto, but both of them have kind of turned back towards it since the United States went full bore enforcement. Now, whether it goes to little other countries around the world, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, the Cayman Islands, or whatever, these places that where the usual suspects, where people go to find more financial freedom, or whether it goes to one of the sovereign powers, is really just whether one of the sovereign powers decides to accept it or not. If Russia, and I think this is very likely, begins to accept Bitcoin and say, yep, this is the new digital gold, this is the new currency of the new millennium, that the price is going to explode and the United States is going to lose everything. Now,
well, I think it's just a little propaganda anyway, right? Like, if we can play on people's fear of the CCCP and the Chinese government and the Russian government, all of these other governments around the world that they're just absolutely terrified of, and we can use that in a way that promotes cryptocurrency and gets the government to ease off of cryptocurrency, that to me is a relatively good thing.
Good enough, right?
So I'm skeptical. It's entertaining. It was fun to listen to. It's fun to watch, too, because Gensler, in the pauses, he's just sort of mouth-breathing while he's trying to figure out what to say. So
yeah, those silences were uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to mean anything in the long run unless there's a severe change in how things are being handled there in D.C. And I'm not of the belief that changing out a chairman for a different chairman is going to solve the problems. And I think that is frequently what is proposed in D.C. I mean, remember years ago there was like some FEMA cleanup disaster or whatever, and I forget who it was at the time. It was Obama or Bush. There was like a big to-do about replacing the FEMA chairman with another FEMA chairman, and as though it was going to change everything. It's just all it does is it makes the issue go out of the media. The media just stops. So-and-so was replaced with so-and-so, and well, that's going to change things. And then you just don't hear anything about the new bureaucracy until some other scandal breaks, 5 years later, and then they replace that guy.
Right.
I mean, we saw this with the Department of Education and Betsy DeVos or whatever her name is.
Yeah, what did she do? Did she shut it down?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
but there was so much.
The homeschool mom was going to come in and gut the Department of Education. Trump's going to destroy it. Nope, didn't happen.
Literally nothing changed as a result of this woman.
Of course.
Mark, you had something?
Yeah, I was just saying that a new bureaucrat coming in needs a couple of months. Every reporter knows that. So it's just a way to diffuse the situation.
Yeah, that's all it is. So don't get your hopes up. And that's the problem is there's so many of these crypto people out there who weren't originals. Let's say they weren't the libertarian ethos type crypto people. They're the money dollar go up, number go up type crypto people. There's a lot of these. These are the bulk of the cryptocurrency industry today. And these people do not understand that the government is not their friend. They think that they're like, whoa, yeah, go Tom Emmer or whatever. Like, yeah, he's gonna get Gary Gensler. And for them, it's just this little political fight.
How can anyone believe
that,
though? That's like firmly believing that, you know, Joe Biden is going to become president and change things.
They think if they put enough money into lobbying the government that it's going to do good things for their industry. And so now you're starting to see crypto firms spending money on lobbyists and the whole thing, just like the tech industry got into lobbying years ago when Microsoft and Google, and they started getting into that as well. And it hasn't made tech better.
No, they might
have lobbyists.
The government may leave you alone. It may leave alone certain companies like FTX, the Sam Bankman guy. He spent a lot of money lobbying congressional officials. And as far as we can tell, all that bought him was a blind eye, so that he could screw people out of $9 billion or whatever it was that he ended up doing, right? It didn't do the cryptocurrency any favors. It didn't do the rest of the people at FTX any favors. And from what I can tell is he sits in jail. It didn't really do him.
He's on house arrest.
Oh, that's right. He is on house arrest. But still.
But he's facing a lot of charges.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
didn't really do him any favors.
So, I mean, these people are going to have to keep learning the hard way. Their supposed advocates, the supposed crypto advocates in Congress are going to sell them out. The proposals that are going to be made eventually to regulate the crypto industry are not going to make things better. There's another story in the news this week about the crypto stablecoin law that they're proposing, which, from what I understand, will actually ban non-U.S.-based stablecoins from being used by people in the United States.
Are they calling it the TikTok ban as well?
No,
they might as well.
That's a different one. If we get a chance, we can talk about that. But Saheed is on the line in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Saheed.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say pretty much exactly what you guys just said. Because the whole time I was feeling like it was a little bit of that spectacle, getting into the spectacle of politics and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the narrative that's going on right now is that we're pushing all these jobs overseas and all the innovation overseas. But the regulation is worse out there. You know, pretty much every single one of the BRICS nations are all, they have worse cryptocurrency laws in general. And those are some of the major economies out there.
Hold on. You said BRICS has worse crypto laws?
Yeah, 100%.
But that's almost preferable, because if they have regulations on the books, then presumably they will actually follow those regulations. The problem we have in the United States is that there are no regulations, and so they're just making them up as they go.
I think the securities is actually not super clear, but I mean it's decently clear compared to some of these other de facto you cannot use.
You think the U.S. securities law is clear?
It's decently, I think, compared to those other places.
Then how come no one with attorneys can figure out how to navigate these things? Hang on, so I'll let you respond to that here in a moment. I mean, you've got major institutional companies here: Coinbase, Kraken, big monies here. They can't seem to figure this out. No one seems to be able to figure this out. I think that's the definition of unclear. But there's more coming up. Hour number 3's on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.